Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. This past spring, just about a little short of a year ago, we had an engaged debate about individual state laws regarding transgender high school athletes. And there's a lot of talk about it, with a lot of feedback about why it is that it's so confusing that the issue involving transgender high school athletes, why this still breaks down according to state law. And the issue has not been resolved in any way, shape, or form. And I want to revisit that today, and I also want to use this whole discussion of transgender athletes as sort of a stepping stone or a platform or a metaphor, if you will, for why we really need to have a federal commissioner of youth sports. And this is just one particular example, and there are so many cases where we could really use some real federal clarification, guidance, and so on and so forth, as opposed to having the individual states or school districts having their own policies. Now, talked about transgenders. Let me begin by saying up front that I have no idea how many high school athletes are changing their genders. I just don't know. I've looked carefully to find research. It's difficult to determine the actual number or percentage. But common sense tells me that it's probably not very many compared to the general population of athletes. But clearly there are a certain number, and they have every right to pursue their dreams in sports, as we all do. Yet when it comes to competing in high school sports, or even college, or at the Olympic level, when it comes to one's eligibility, well, the fact is a lot depends, if you're a high school athlete, on what state in which you compete in. For example, just a couple of weeks ago in Tennessee, a law was proposed that says that transgender kids have to compete according to the gender they were born with. So if you were born a boy, even if you transition to being a girl sometime later on in high school, well, you still have to compete in high school sports as a boy because that's how you were born. This has become something of a curious national trend. In addition to Tennessee, New Hampshire, Missouri, Georgia, Washington State, and other states, there have been drafting measures aimed at preventing athletes from competing in categories different than their biological sex. Likewise, if you were born a girl, then you have to compete against other girls in high school, even if you were now a boy. If you position yourself as a boy now in high school, if you were born a girl, you have to still compete against girls in high school. So it's obviously we know we have 50 states. It really all depends on state law, and about a third of the states you can compete according to the gender you currently identify with. It's very confusing. For example, again, last spring in the state of Connecticut, and we talked about this, you can choose to compete as a girl in high school even if you were born as a boy. And for example, in New Jersey, from what I can tell, those same rules apply. But in New York State, it's a lot murkier. But in New York City, it's more along the lines with Connecticut and New Jersey. And you know, in New York State, there's a lot of red tape. You have to go through a whole process of dealing with your school board, make an application, and so on and so forth. So I want to discuss this particular issue with you today. But again, this to me is sort of a metaphor, if you will, for the kind of issue where a commissioner of youth sports could really step in and provide some national or federal oversight that would eliminate these kind of state-by-state divisions. And, of course, our number here this morning is 1-877-337-6666. Let me get into more of the details on this. In the state of Connecticut a year ago, and this is how this all thing sort of got a lot of headway, a lot of news, is that there were two high school sprinters who were biological boys for most of their life. They were born as boys, but they identify these days as girls in high school, and they were permitted in Connecticut to compete in a key track meet. And in this meet, which was an important one, the rules were very clear. The top six finishers would qualify for the regional New England meet, where lots of college coaches would be attending. And as it developed, the two boys, and I use that quote-unquote because they started out as boys and transitioned to girls, well, the two boys were talented, and they finished first and second in the races, with the winner breaking the Connecticut indoor state record for girls in the 55-meter sprint. Again, I hope you're following all this, but basically, these were two boys who were talented runners as boys, but when they transitioned to girls, they were able to make a decision on their own: do I want to be able to compete as girls, or do I stay with the boys? And in the state of Connecticut, they were allowed to compete in the gender they currently are involved in. Now, remember, in this particular track meet, only the top six will be allowed to advance to the regionals. As you might imagine, with the two boys slash girls competing and winning, you know, that meant two other girls were not allowed to advance to the New England regionals. And, you know, one girl in particular was very angry and filed a complaint that she was denied a chance to compete in the regionals because the two boys had been allowed to compete, and obviously they finished higher than she did. If the boys had not been allowed to compete, then she would have finished at least in sixth place, and she would have advanced. So you can see this does have a situation here where it trickles down to individual situations, and if it's your kid who's being affected by this, you're going to be upset. Now, this happened in Connecticut. Again, if this track meet had taken place in Tennessee, then no, those boys slash girls, they would not have been allowed to compete with the girls in this track meet. They would have been under state law. They would have had to compete against the boys, even though they're now basically have transitioned to girls. It's very, very complicated. And again, it's a kind of thing where, honestly, we're looking for some real guidance on this. And again, it'd be nice to have somebody step in and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, again, we get some of that at the NCAA level, since that's the National Collegiate Athletic Association. But at the high school level, it is very, very complicated. And it really depends on where you grow up and in what state you go to school in. 1-877-337-6666. I want to talk about this morning, and I want to get your thoughts about this. And we have a lot more to talk about, other examples from other states. And again, find out more about what can we do to start cutting through all the red tape and the confusion, not just with transgender athletes, but all this when it comes to youth and high school and travel team sports. Okay, let me take a time out. Mark Rene is here this morning. He has your update. When I return, we'll continue with our conversation, and of course, I'll start taking your calls as well. Stay with me. Radio.com. Welcome back to the Sports Edge, everyone. I'm Rick Wolf. We're talking this morning about a very complicated issue, which we've talked about a year ago, and we're still looking for a clarification today. Having to talk about transgender athletes in high school. It's, again, as I said at the outset, I'm not sure the actual numbers of kids who are doing this kind of transitioning, but there are enough now in the media and who are making headlines as to doing this. We really need to get some clarification, not just on a state-by-state level, but ideally on a federal level. You know, we're not talking about Title IX here. We're not talking about, we've heard, of course, over the years that girls will sometimes play on boys' ice hockey teams in high school or in baseball or even play on a high school football team, but they still remain as girls. This is different. We're talking about kids who transition to different genders. And I started talking about, these two boys, these kids who were born as boys who were sprinters. They transitioned to girls in Connecticut, and they were allowed to compete in a very important track meet. And they did place very highly. They, in fact, came in first and second in a sprint, which allowed them to advance to a New England regional meet. And obviously, by doing that, they dislodged other girls, biological girls, who obviously felt that, that somehow having these boys slash girls come in to compete cost them a chance to advance. Let me take this from the other side. There's a high school wrestler in Texas named Mac Beggs, who was born a girl, and he'd been transitioning to a boy over the last few years. He also happens to be a top-notch wrestler. In fact, the last 2 years he'd been the Texas state champion in the girls' wrestling division. But Mac says he would much prefer to wrestle against boys. But again, in Texas, as in many other states, you compete interscholastically according to your gender at birth. And thus, since Mac Beggs was born a boy, he's born as a girl, he can only compete as a female. And so he's a guy now, but he's competing against girls. You can see how bizarre and confusing this is, and that's what we're talking about. 1-877-337-6666. Let's start our conversation this morning with our friend Rob out in Lake Success. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. This is one of those tough ones to talk about because there's so many decisions and discussions which could go which way you want to go with. All right, I'm going to give you. You brought up Title IX, and unfortunately, I have to say, you said it's really different, and it is different, but in another way, it's not different because that was, I guess, came up in 1972 with Nixon, because there were some schools that girls. They didn't have teams for certain girls that they could participate, like track or tennis or whatever, so they had to play with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, that was a really good situation, and it gave an opportunity for girls to participate where a school might not have had a sport. So in some respects, it's an old problem. But to answer my personal feeling on this, if someone's in a transition period and they're born a particular sex, okay, but they haven't completed the complete transition, then you kind of it's kind of not fair. You understand what I'm saying?
Because sure.
if they're born if they're born a female and they still haven't become the male side yet, they really shouldn't be participating with the males because biologically they are somewhat inferior because they don't have the proper amount of testosterone yet in them. So actually, the boys are going to be most likely stronger than them anyway. Or have that advantage. But when you go to the flip side, if you're born a boy and you now want to become a female, you have that testosterone in you.
Right.
So when you go and start competing against the females, you're going to have that advantage in certain sports, meaning because you've already had that testosterone in you. I think, to answer the question, my feeling is every kid should have their chance to participate, okay? And this is one of those that this is what's happening nowadays. There's been a lot of transition at very young ages. And I think once the transition is completed, when it's totally done, that's when I guess the person is considered the sex that they are now completed at. You understand what I'm saying?
And I'll tell you, Rob, and I think you're onto something. For example, the NCAA level, they do talk about the hormone level, and the way it works is that if a kid wants to transition during college, they're going to have to basically, in effect, it turns out that they have to go through that hormone transition for about a year, which means that they're going to end up not competing for at least a year, and obviously if there's surgery involved as well. But it's not as, for example, these states that say, in effect, you have to compete according to the sex in which you were born. That's a little too, from my perspective, a little too cut and dry because it's as you just pointed out, it's so complicated when it comes to, well, when did it take place? When did the transition take place? Are there other complications? And so on and so forth. And I think that's where, again, we could use some clarification. But even the NCAA rule is complicated.
I just want to add one thing also, Rick, on this. These particular individuals are born a certain way, meaning that this is not a decision that they're making. It comes from within, I guess. Okay, that's what the psychologists are saying. If they are born the wrong sex, let's say they come out as a male and they really feel they're female, this is what they believe they are, and they want to become human beings the right way that they were. They thought that they should have been born. So you can't punish someone for being born whatever, how they come out, okay? It's really something that they know usually at birth that's what sex they really want to be. And there's a sprinter, a South African sprinter, female, who has, they've had some problems with. She's won Olympic medals.
Because she has high levels of testosterone.
Right, and they're not even really sure what she won't go for the test, you know, and there was a whole debate on that. I think in the 2016 Olympics, her name just falls off my head right now, this early in the morning. But this is, and that's at the Olympic level. But
Rob, that's exactly what I talk about. Let me get some other calls, but you make, as always, good points. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the call. You know, that's what we're talking about. You know, a lot of these kids, when they're born, obviously, they don't really know, you know, they just feel that they're born into the wrong sex, the wrong gender. And you know, this is not like they had a choice of this. They're trying to struggle with this. So we're sensitive to those kids' issues. We want them to pursue sports and pursue their dreams. But some of these laws that are coming forth now are just sort of saying, well, no, I don't care what you are now, but you have to compete at high school as according to whatever gender you were born. And the kid might say, but that gender never really fit me. I know that I'm really supposed to be this sex, not that sex. It's very, very complicated. And as I said, we could use some clarification. Let's move on to let's go up to Connecticut. George is standing by. George, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Listen to you every week. You do a great job.
Thank you.
And I actually played sports in my day professionally years ago, and I still listen to you. What you do for youth sports is unbelievable.
Thank you. So tell me about your thoughts about this, George.
I guess just real quick, I do have a little skin in the game because my niece is one of the two that have filed a complaint. And I know I've read recently where some reporters are reporting it as a lawsuit. It is not a lawsuit. It's just a complaint filed with the Department of Education. As your previous caller said, the Title IX of 1972 was developed for fairness for girls and boys. I know at times I'm not a big political guy. This is not a political thing. It's not a race thing. My niece is black, too. It's just all about fairness, and I'm just amazed that, you know, this is happening now, or actually could get a lot worse, and it is getting worse. There are a couple girls now in Hawaii that are volleyball players that have to go up against boys.
Right.
So it's really amazing that in 2020 that this has happened. And I think you and I, Rick, I'm 57 years old. We're somewhat in the same age group that I would never have thought that this would be happening today.
Well, you know, this is something that when I did the show last week about, you know, what's going to happen the next 10 years, the next decade. George, this is exactly front and center. Again, this would never have come up a decade ago, but it has now. And obviously, as you said very eloquently, we want this just to be fair. And we want the kids who, regardless of their gender or how they got to where they are, we want them to be able to compete in a fair and a level playing field. But these, if it's on a state-by-state basis, and we just don't know exactly how these states are making their decisions, but to my way of thinking, to have a blanket statement saying, oh, no, you have to compete according to the way you were born, that's not really fair to these kids who've gone through, obviously, a lot of emotional struggles to figure out how do I get to be the right gender in life. But on the other side, you know, like in Connecticut, if you have a situation where a kid says, I'm going to transition to being a girl and I'm going to compete against other girls, natural-born girls, that's going to be difficult because, as you said, your niece got dislodged on this. You know, she was a victim.
Yeah, again, it's all about fairness. You know, like I said, she's involved in the complaint. But she, you are who you are when you're born, I think. And if you talk to health experts, doctors, where, you know, once you go past puberty, there's really no change in. No matter, it really doesn't matter what hormones you would take. And again, the gender identity, because my niece has a twin brother. He plays football, basketball, and baseball. And you know, I joke with him, if you can't beat certain talents, maybe you should just play with the girls. And again, it's a total joke, but you can actually do that in Connecticut. You can just go there September 1st
yes.
and say, I'm a girl,
yep.
and then you play with the girls.
Yep, that's right. That's all right. Well, anyhow, as I said, George, obviously you're seeing all this and up close and in person, and I thank you for your call this morning. Let's move on. Let's go on to Roger over in Jackson, New Jersey. Hey, Roger, you're on the Fan.
Hi, good morning. And you know, a couple points, but I first want to say I'm a youth recreational coach. I actually coach volunteer. I don't get paid for it.
Yep.
And I do see that the kids get a lot out of sports. So I would say that most parents and most people want to be fair. But my first point is, one, who is making the decision? Is it more men, more women, or a combination of both? Because it seems like women, in this instance, are getting the short end of the stick again. Because when it's reversed, when a man goes into a woman's a woman goes into a man's sport, they're going to be on par, maybe better now and then, but most of the time on par. When it's the opposite, the men usually dominate. The boys usually dominate. So that's my first part. Who is making the decisions, and are women now getting their short end of the stick again by men? Second, I don't really want the federal government involved. It's not in the Constitution. I understand maybe some guidelines, but when they get involved, now it becomes who's going to make a decision. Is it Donald Trump? Is it Obama? No, it should not be one point, one federal thing. Let the states manage it, but let them go with some guidelines from the Department of Health, Department of Education, because, again, there's going to be a lot of victims here. And think of those women who lost and lost scholarship opportunities. What about their rights? What about their mental psyche? No one is considering that. They're just saying, hey, someone decided to change. Let's be fair. You know what? The needs of the few don't outweigh the needs of the many. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I hear you loud and clear in this, and I thank you for your thoughts this morning. The reason why I come back to the idea of having a commissioner of youth sports, and let's be clear about this. Most of us are very wary, obviously, of taking this to a level where politicians get involved and they're trying to, figure out, okay, what's politically expedient for their own careers. No. I would like to have somebody like, and we've had this for years, the President's Council on Physical Fitness. That could be a panel of experts who have a background in youth sports and coaching and basically whether it's pediatrics, whatever it might be, but have a real blue ribbon panel of experts who can go into this situation and say, okay, we're going to provide not just expert advice. It may not have to be mandated, but it can certainly provide, here's what we think this should be or how we roll. And again, we're talking today about transgender athletes. That's just one small topic. Because we know there aren't that many kids who are affected by this. But as we've said in the last few years, it sure would be nice to have some sort of panel of experts in this field in which we could basically say, okay, give us your thoughts about, for example, what's the right age to specialize for a kid in a sport, whether it's a team sport or an individual sport. What about burnout? How can that be prevented? Let's talk about travel teams. Shouldn't it be some court of appeal if my kid's on a travel team and he or she isn't enjoying the experience and there's a problem with the coach? What do we do in terms of trying to appeal our concerns about travel team coaches or club coaches? What about the whole recruiting process? We know that at the high school and to the college, that's a real mess because there are no real regulations. It's just there's so much out there. All the topics we talk about in the show, we're trying, in effect, to protect our kids. We're trying to do the best thing for our children who love playing sports as we did. I mean, there was an article just the other day in the Times about and a lot of you had sent me this column to make sure I saw it, and of course I had, about there's some grassroots support in Puerto Rico to have that Commonwealth enact some laws to protect the athletic kids from overzealous parents and coaches who are pushing these kids in Puerto Rico. I mean, it's another example of saying this is the kind of grassroots example we want to have to say, look, let's do this. Let's take the next step. If we can really are serious about making sure our kids have a positive and enjoyable experience playing sports, it's up to us to set the right tone. And I do think, as I said, a commissioner of youth sports, a panel of experts could really provide some guidance. Right now, there's nothing out there. Oh, there are a few, operations that sort of offer, say, here's the problem, you know, in sports. Yeah, we know what the problems are. We want solutions. All right, let me take a timeout. I do want to talk about this issue, obviously, with the commissioner, as well with the transgender athletes and Title IX, all the stuff. 1-877-337-6666. Back with more after this.
Radio.com. This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Well, if you're just joining us now, we're talking this morning about the continuing debate with transgender athletes competing in high school, and how it really depends on what state the young person lives in. Some states say, no, you can only compete according to the gender with which you were born with, even if you've transitioned to the opposite gender. Other states say, no, you can compete any way you want. You may have been born a girl, but if you transition to being a boy, you can now compete as a boy. That seems to be, for example, locally in Connecticut, that is the law. In New Jersey, seems to be in the same direction. And in New York State, it gets a little more clouded. In New York State, you got to go through the whole process of basically petitioning your local school and getting medical forms and so on and so forth if you want to compete in your current gender. In New York City, it's more aligned with, I believe, with Connecticut and New Jersey. But again, there are states all over the country that are it depends where you live, and it's complicated, and it's again, I'm using this as sort of a platform to say this is why we need some sort of commissioner of youth sports or a panel of experts to say, these people could provide some real direction and advice and guidance for all the parents out there who are looking to do their best thing for their children. Look, we all know, those of us of a certain age, that being a sports parent today, being a coach today, has never been more complicated. And quite frankly, it's only getting more and more complex, and we'd like to get some guidance. Otherwise, we're just sort of left to wander in the wilderness on our own, and it's difficult. 1-877-337-6666. And before I forget, now is the right time of the year if you want to contact me to set up a sports parenting presentation in your school district or in your community or your sports league or team. I talk about real solutions that you can implement within your particular situation. All you have to do is go to AskCoachWolf.com to contact me and to get more information. And by the way, don't forget to go to YouTube and go to the Ask Coach Wolf channel, and you can get a sense of what I'm talking about in terms of short little tidbits of advice and things that sports parents need to know. Okay, let's go back to our calls. Let's go over to Richard in Brooklyn. Richard, good morning. You're next up on the Fan.
Hi, Rick. Thank you for taking my call. It's funny. This is a situation where it might almost be appropriate for a double standard to be in place. For a woman to be able to compete, to want to compete against men, I don't have an issue with that because they don't have a problem. Men tend to have more muscle mass. But when you have a man who's transitioning to compete against women, they have a significant advantage in terms of muscle mass. If you remember years ago the tennis player Rene Richards.
Yep.
I just think, I'm not a person who believes in double standards, but I'm not sure it's fair to let men transitioning to the other to female gender compete against women. They just have an advantage. I played Division III college basketball. If I were competing against women, I probably could have played Division I. I couldn't have played Division I as a man.
Well, this is what we're talking about. I mean, and in fact, and Richard, thank you for your call this morning. Exactly right. I mean, these are the real life complications we're talking about, and particularly when a male transitions to a girl, as we're talking about with these two sprinters up in Connecticut. I mean, clearly they had already grown to a point where they were physically larger than their female compatriots, and they're now going to dominate at the girls' high school level. I mean, this is where we need. Okay, how do we do this to be fair to the boys who transition, and how do we fare to the girls who have to compete against them? You know, it's just a very complicated situation, and it does have to do with the physical differences. We all know that girls and boys start out competing at the very young levels of youth sports, whether it's soccer or baseball, whatever it might be, or basketball. It doesn't make any difference. But once they get to be in their adolescent years and go through puberty, makes a big difference. Obviously, boys, for the most part, are physically bigger and stronger than the girls. So if they transition in their mid to late teens, those differences already exist. Let's go to our friend Jack Smithlin, the Hall of Fame coach over in Fairlawn. Jack, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very good, Rick. And once again, you know, I listened to your show back when you talked about this about a year ago.
Yes.
And the topic is very controversial. And the other night, my son Alex and I got into a heated argument. Not argument. We were basically on the same page, but we got so intense with this topic that Sue actually had to get in between us. But it was, you know, there's so many different things. I'm going to talk about your commissioner idea first.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way to go. It really is the only way to go, especially in these sports like track and tennis and golf and things like that, because they move to the national level. You know, in track, a high school, they have the national tournaments every year, and Zach and both Alex competed. And, you know, when you get to that level, if there's 17 states saying this and 17 states doing that, now you got kids, you know, male and female, that have competed along the way based on their state laws, and now they get to the nationals, and some are going to be eliminated because, you know, that state says, no, you can't compete as a female transgendering to a male or transitioning to a male. So these particular things, plus when a male transitions to a female, and they now actually have the full, complete surgery, they stop producing the same amounts of testosterone that they did as a male. They're now getting injections of estrogen probably for most of their lives. So these things, their strength levels will go down. They still have their strength, and it is unfair. But I have a cousin, and this is a different side of the story. I have a cousin that was born female. She was the number one lacrosse goalie in Massachusetts, up near Sudbury,
mm-hmm.
actually where my son Zach lives. And she was recruited by tons as a sophomore of Division I lacrosse schools. And she transitioned from a female to a male and went out for the boys' lacrosse team and became one of the top two goalies, but got blackballed. They wouldn't let her play. The school itself would not let her play. Now, my cousin, my first cousin is her mom. They protested it and, you know, took it to court, I believe.
Why wouldn't they let her play?
Because she transitioned. She was now considered a guy, being born a female.
And how good was she as a male, as a goalie?
Well, supposedly she went out for the team.
Yep.
Coach and the athletic director had no clue what to do about it.
Yep.
And she actually won a position on the team.
Okay.
And from what my cousin tells me, she probably would have been possibly the starting goalkeeper, but got blackballed, got bullied, got harassed, and stopped playing. And now is into weightlifting and training and, you know, very strong, you know, male, getting testosterone shots probably, you know, every month of his life. But, you know, these particular situations, but a commissioner, you know, would have probably stepped in that position or had a bylaw or a law that would allow them to compete. You know, the states that are saying you have to compete at your born sex, I don't agree with that one. And you know what? And one other thing, Rick, we make have to make choices in our lives. And people that transition, that's a choice.
Yes.
All right? And it might not be a choice because they feel they were born to the opposite sex, but they still have to make that choice to transition. And that is a tough, tough life choice. But this is something that they want. Should they be punished for that? You know, a female that has to go compete against a male, that's at the beginning, it's a big strength difference, and you're absolutely right. But they're making that choice. My cousin made that choice. She wanted to compete against the men.
Jack, let me go back to your cousin's situation. You know, this is, again, just to take this to the next step. You know, when she made that decision, and she was obviously apparently a gifted goalie in lacrosse.
Very good.
And you know, she's being recruited, and she says, you know, I'm going to go and become a guy because I feel that that's who I really am deep down inside. And then she goes on to the boys' team. She makes the boys' team, but as you say, is either blackballed or they don't know what to do with her or him and so on and so forth. And she doesn't play and ultimately quits. This is a case where if there were something in place, like a commissioner panel, where somebody, the kid or the coach of that team could have gone and made a direct appeal and say, what do we do here? I'm a coach. This is a rare situation. What do I do with this kid? What do I tell my team? What do I tell the parents? What do I do to give this youngster a shot so that that he can now go out and enjoy and pursue their dreams? You know, we're all about a fair and equal playing field. But if the kid's not getting that, it becomes a lose-lose situation.
Think about it. Think about when you were coaching at Mercy College. Okay, think about that. My philosophy, and I guarantee you it was your philosophy too, was I put my 9 best players out on that field.
I don't
care what sex they are, okay? I mean, seriously. And in this situation, here's my cousin. She's actually my first cousin's daughter, was daughter, now son. She wanted to compete at the male level.
Yep.
You know, she's now a male.
Yep.
And she was blackballed because of it, because people didn't have an open mind to understand that sometimes life is not fair. We're all, you know, life is all about obstacles, and we deal with them. And my cousin was ready to deal with those obstacles. And on the other hand, if she was a male going to female, now the strength difference, especially at the younger ages, because they're still producing the same amount of testosterone until the surgeries are actually fully completed.
Yep.
But here you got a situation where it's actually not fair. And, you know, and the funny thing about it is that my aunt, my cousin, her mom was, she's a psychologist. She knew from when her daughter was a year old that this was going to happen someday.
Yeah, well.
And she prepared herself, and, you know, but the point is that a commissioner has to be the way to go. I mean, our NCAA sports are commissioned by an organization that I'm not a fan in, but they do have their laws and rules. Well, a commissioner would do the same and make it an equal playing field for every state.
Jack,
other thing before I go, real quick. The track court, the girls and the boys.
Yes.
Track is a sport where you're based on your times.
Yes.
Not on whether you win or lose. You could have the 10 best sprinters in the country in the same high school, but in every track meet, only 3 of them advance. But that doesn't mean that those other 7 track runners aren't the 7 best in the world or in the nation.
Of course, of course. Let me ask you one quick thing. I have to get to a break, but how long ago was a cousin, you know? Oh, he's gone. Okay. Well, I wanted to ask Jack how long ago this situation with the lacrosse goalie had taken place. But, you know, obviously it must have happened fairly recently. But again, you would think even in an enlightened state like Massachusetts, when it comes to gender equity, this wouldn't have taken place. It wouldn't have had a situation where the kid was basically blackballed. All right. Let me take a break. Mark Renee has your update. When I return, we'll go right back to your calls.
Stay right here for more of Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge on The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York. Radio.com. Radio.
Back here on the Sports Edge, first of all, a couple of quick updates. First of all, I just wanted to, I heard back from Jack Smithlin. This incident with his cousin when she transitioned to being a boy, this happened about 6 years ago. So we're not talking a long time ago. And just as I said, it's curious that this youngster had to go through a situation of basically being harassed and bullied when he made the lacrosse team at his high school. And also, I just want to be clear about a situation in Connecticut. I mentioned, of course, early on about the boys who competed as girls in a big track meet up there last year. In Connecticut, and again, I'm not an expert on any of these, the fine print of these laws, but in Connecticut, you don't have to be transitioning. You just have to say, in effect, that I'm going to compete. I feel that I'm a girl, and I'm going to compete in that gender. Again, that's a little, to me, a little disconcerting because, I mean, how does a boy just come out and say, okay, I'm a girl now? I mean, it has to be, I think, some evidence, situation that shows that he is, in fact, making a transition. But again, I guess under current state law in Connecticut, and I could be wrong about this, I guess we just come out and say, I'm actually going to be a girl, and I plan to become a girl, therefore I want to compete in you know, these races. That's apparently what the state law has been telling. Okay, let's get back to our calls. Let's go to Austin. He's on the road this morning. Austin, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Yeah, hi. How's it going?
Good.
I called before you had brought up that the point that you had just made, but I kind of wanted to play devil's advocate on the situation.
Yep.
You know, I'm 26. I'm relatively young, and I'm going back to, you know, high school sports. You know, thinking similar to what another caller had thought. About, you know, man, if I was playing in this basketball game or running this track meet against, you know, a female, what would my accolades or statistics, you know, look like in the situation?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, you know, in, you know, young kids that are easily influenced by, you know, other people. What is the opinion or the thought on a situation where you have somebody's parents?
Austin, I think we've lost you here, but I get what you're saying. Again, this is all part of the confusion of the new generation we've entered into when it comes to, you know, this next decade of youth sports and why we really could use some expertise with the commissioner of youth sports and a panel. Let's go very quickly to Cheryl up in Connecticut. Cheryl, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me. I am calling from Connecticut. I have a daughter who's experiencing this firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening, she's being forced to compete against biological males. And in her sport, it's simply not fair. She's a track runner.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2017, the state of Connecticut has allowed males, simply on self-identification, nothing
yep.
else, dominate in the female track arena, and in a year and a half, they already own like 15 state records. Every race they win, it's a medal, a podium, a chance to compete at the next level. It's simply not fair. The physiological differences of a biological male to a girl, especially at this age, the competition presents not a level playing field.
Cheryl, this is exactly what we're talking about, and obviously your daughter is living through this, and you're obviously a concerned sports parent. It's just hard to believe that the state of Connecticut, I'm sure all the other parents, all the coaches, are seeing this saying, well, what do we do here? Somebody, somewhere give us some guidance. It obviously flies in the way, right into the face of Title IX, which is all about, you know, fair play for all the kids. And I don't know how it's going to get resolved. I mean, it's just very, very strange. I mean, what from your perspective? What's the next step? What are you guys doing?
Well, we filed a federal complaint against the OCR. We're not saying they can't run. They just need to come up with a solution that's fair for everyone. I'm not sure what that solution is.
Well, one solution I know from a year ago when we talked about this is saying, well, you know what? We might get to the point where we have races for boys, races for girls in high school, and races for transgender, because that may be, it sounds kind of goofy perhaps, but at least that's a way to say we're going to make sure that the track is in a level playing field. Cheryl, thank
Absolutely.
You for calling
thank
in
you
this
so
morning.
Much.
I appreciate your thoughts. And obviously, as we know, this is where, again, we could use some real guidance from a commissioner of youth sports or some sort of blue ribbon youth sports panel. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Pete Kennedy. Stick around for JJ. He's up next. I'll talk to you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.